Giving in Grace. This is the name of a two-part series that we're starting today. And we're having the same message at each of our three services today. And Andrew will be giving a similar message at each of the services next Sunday. Giving in Grace. Well, you might well recognise that we'll be talking about money. Now, of course, religion and money are two of the greatest things that the English don't like to talk about. A bit of a taboo. And here I'm going to talk about both of them together. Well, you've been warned. But it's a long time since we've looked at this topic in this church. Apparently, 5 years at least. I'm simply going to ask you to do one thing today, and that is to listen with open hearts to see what God has to say on this important topic. Well, the older we get, I guess, the more likely it is that we realise that the best things in life are free, which is a relief, isn't it? But maybe we also agree with Spike Milligan, who said, "Well, I know that money can't buy happiness. All I ask is for the chance to prove it." Money, poverty, wealth, riches, coins, inheritance, provision. These are all things that crop up again and again in our Bibles. God clearly thinks these things are important. It says so much that we can't possibly cover it all. I'm just going to look at our Deuteronomy passage, which Peter read for us today. And Andrew will look at another one next Sunday with us. So as we turn to that, let's pray together. Loving Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, Deuteronomy 26 is written to the Old Testament people of God, to Israel. It's talking about tithes and harvests. Perhaps we might say, well, why is this relevant to be looking at it today in a very different age? We're no longer an agrarian people in the main. Well, let's look and see what the principles are here, and then we can work out how to apply it, if we can, today. And the very first thing to notice is that it is not written to all people at all times. It is, in verse 1, it is written to his people, to God's people. And this command that he is giving them to give starts when and only when they have landed up in the land that he promised them. Yes, this comes as a result of a gift. God gives his people this land. He miraculously provides it. They conquer it, and we were hearing about that a few months ago in Joshua and Judges. So they're only asked to respond in this way after they've received the gift. Somebody coming in with a gift then to the temple first has to recite the story of God's goodness before placing their gift in front of the Lord. Now, we are not Old Testament Jews, but we are a people. We are bought from the slavery of sin, and we are adopted into God's New Testament people, the church. So while on first inspection this might not seem very relevant to us, actually it can apply. There is a correspondence between them and us today. Well, what is it that this gift is that God is asking them to give? Well, in fact, there are three different gifts. And the first one starts its mention in verse 2. They are to bring the fruit of the ground. They're to bring a tithe of the first part of their harvest. Numbers 18 fills in what happens next. That this general tithe was to be brought to the central sanctuary in the middle of the people, to be used by the Levites for their work in the tent of meeting. Now, we need to think back as to who these Levites are. This is one of the 12 tribes. They were the one that was set aside to provide the common good functions that a more advanced society needs. They were the health inspectors, the police, the justice system, and more. And to be able to do that, they couldn't be farmers as well. In fact, the Lord specifically didn't give them land. So they needed paying. So if you like, the rest of the tribes, the other 11, were to give a 10% income tax to fund the Levites. In a very similar way, today we have the system of stipends that pays vicars. It's not paying for a job. It is enabling them to set their time aside to serve God and their community without having to go and farm or do something else. But this isn't just any tithe. The Lord asks for the first fruits. Verse 2, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground. Why? Why does he be that specific? Simply because it takes faith, doesn't it, to give the very first part, the first 10%. There may not be any more to come. Easy to give the last 10%. If you remember back to the story of Cain and Abel in Genesis 4, the reason that Cain's offering to God was not found acceptable when Abel's was that Cain just brought some of it. He didn't bring his first 10%. By contrast, Abraham was ready to offer his son Isaac his first fruits, and God honoured his faith for that. Well, secondly, the people are to bring a tithe every 3 years of produce, not to the Lord, but locally, to enable the aliens, the orphans, and the widows to eat their fill within your towns. These are people who are normally powerless and disadvantaged in society. They can't farm for themselves, they can't provide. But God directs his people to show compassion on them, like he does. I hear the echo of Jesus here. Jesus looked after the orphans, the widows. He included the foreigners. God is fully consistent with himself. And this says some really great things about God. God is on the side of the disadvantaged and wants to provide for them just like the well-off. But this is no killjoy God. This is a party-loving God, as we read from verse 11 onwards. He wants everyone, even the foreigners, to be glad of heart. All of them to take part in the festivals that he commands. He doesn't give them a land able to supply bread and water, but a land flowing with milk and honey. This is no bean-counting God, desperate to have his recompense. It all belongs to him anyway, and out of his love for his people, he simply asks them to return a small but meaningful portion back to him. Well, this is all very well if we're a farmer, but what if we're a pensioner, or we work in an office or a shop? Well, we've seen two tithes already, and then in Numbers 18 there is in fact a third one. And this is just to the Levites themselves. If you remember, they are being given a tithe to support them. But they were commanded to give a tithe of that to a subgroup, to the priests, to the priestly Levites. Just like we receive a stipend to help the mission of God and to encourage the worship in this place and other places, so too did that 10% of 10% go towards the upkeep of the temple and the worship in it. So for us who don't farm, here is the principle that we can use today. And God still wants our first 10%. As a gift. Well, in fact, gift isn't quite the right phrase here. Because actually, I've come to see this more helpfully as a returning to God of what he has already first given. Later in the service, once we bring up our plate of offering, I will say words which we often don't hear because it's in the middle of a hymn. But we use the words from 1 Chronicles 29 when King David is giving a freewill offering from his people to God. And he says, "All things come from you, and of your own have we given you." And we repeat that every time we bring an offering before the Lord here. And that's the flow. It comes from God to us, and we return some of it. Well, what do we do with these tithes today? Well, I'm not going to go into detail on that now. I'm going to leave that for two further occasions. Firstly, what Andrew will talk through in more detail next week. But also, there will be a presentation at two times in the next couple of weeks from our PCC, which explains how the finance of the church works and gives some ideas about how that tithe can be given and used. For me, tithing has been a journey. It is not something that has come naturally or easily. Martha, my wife, has helped me in it. And over the last 5 or 6 years, our income has gone up and down quite significantly. But through it, we have held to the principle that is given here, to give back to God 10% of our gross income. It can be done. It isn't easy at times, but actually, when you get used to it, it is something that is more than possible. And more than that, we've noticed the effect that it has on us. As Martha nodded this morning when I said something similar, that we do truly worry less about money the more that we give away. We carry less burden. We feel lighter as people. And sometimes too, God, in his wisdom and kindness, lets us see a little bit of the blessing that goes to other people through our gifts. I'm coming to understand more and more that it is indeed more blessed to give than to receive. Well, let me conclude. God did not create giving for his sake. He created it for our sake, for our good. We are most like our wonderful, gracious Father when we are at our most generous. If we claim to be followers of Jesus, then it should be obvious in our words, in our actions, and yes, by looking at our bank statements too. So the question for us now is just the same as it was then. Every time we receive income, paycheck, gift, pension, whatever it is, are we going to believe that God's word works? And that 90% with God's blessing goes further than 100% without. I'll say that again because I messed it up. Do we think that 90% with God's blessing goes further than 100% without? Our good, our generous God wants to bless us, and living fully with him is the way to find that blessing. But it takes our cooperation, and all he asks in return is our first 10%. If you want to think more about this topic, which I've only just been able to sketchily introduce, then I can recommend this little booklet. It's called The Grace of Giving, written by that wonderful Christian teacher, John Stott. I've bought 20 copies for the church out of my money because I'm convinced that learning to submit to God in this way is one of the surest ways to come and walk more closely with him. So if God has been speaking to you tonight, then please do take one of these from me. All I ask is that you do read and pray about it. Let's pray. Loving and generous Father, you love to give us good gifts, and we thank you for the gift of giving itself. As we ponder on this message this week, help us to take a fresh step of trust in you with our giving. Amen.